you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Staying with KZN, flooding in KZN, and in fact, KZN Weather Services have issued a statement. They're also saying that this is a level 4 warning. They are asking people to please be safe. You know that there was a tornado there yesterday, and flooding just absolutely destroying people's homes. Unfortunately, 11 people have passed on. Let's speak now to Bongiwe Sithole Moloi, who's a KZN Cocktail MEC. Really, thank you so much for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Tamela. But I just want to apologize.
Yes, I believe it's not. Yes, you're not Bongiwe. I apologize for that because I didn't see an update on that. Okay, so I apologize for the fact that we had expected the MEC, but you are obviously the MEC spokesperson, Sponso Mgati. Sponso Mgati, thank you so much for making time for us. As obviously we are all watching what is happening in the province KZN, how things are going, how are things going? We know that we have a count of 11 people who've lost their lives. What's the update thereof?
So far our report indicates that the death toll stands at 11 as of this evening. Our teams are still continuing to work on the ground. There is a lot of devastation. People's houses got damaged, particularly in the area of Tongat, in the north of Durban, but there are also areas in the south of Durban, in the areas of Umkababa, that were severely affected, and other areas such as Newcastle, Hlulhlu in the far north, and the areas of Mutu in the Midlands, and quite a number of roads, public infrastructure, like power lines and electric poles, because there was a severe thunderstorm accompanied by a strong wind. Strike in different parts of the province, particularly along the coast, that left a devastation. So today, the MEC, together with the Premier and the Etsewin Mayor and Holistic Kaunda, they visited a number of areas in Durban, trying to offer the humanitarian aid to assist families. We have over 50 people at this place. They are currently being housed to a community hall and schools. So we had to ensure that they have food and have everything. But we're also looking at how we're going to assist them to rebuild their houses, because the devastation is too much. It's not informal settlement. Now we are speaking here about proper built houses, suburban areas. So that tells you about how severe this thunderstorm was that hit yesterday evening.
Mr. Mgati, I mean, what we're hearing from KZN government right now is that you are starting to reckon with the fact that climate change is affecting you adversely, and this is something that you need to now start reckoning with. You have just come out of the 2021 floods, and you were still trying to rebuild a KZN, and here you are now. Part of the problems you have, and I know you've just mentioned the fact that, yes, even formal buildings right now were affected, but people who are also just, you know, living too close to the riverbanks, and people who are living in areas that are just very difficult to manage in circumstances like this.
Yeah, well, that's very true. There are instances, particularly in flooding, because we must also clarify that this was not flooding.
Yes.
Because this was just a strong wind accompanied
tornado,
by some days. I classified it as a tornado. Mm. So a tornado, it's just because it's up there in the air. But well, in the previous incidents, we have dealt with issues of flooding where people just built, particularly informal settlement along the riverbanks, that put their life at risk. So we have been discouraging people to stop building from those areas, and also those that have already built to seek alternative venues. It's just that it's not an easy exercise, because you have to consult, not to convince people, and people are not so easy to buy in to that narrative, because they do not believe what you are telling them until they get affected.
And sometimes they're there for the very resource, the water resource. Sometimes they need that water, and being close to it is exactly what they need.
Yeah, well, it's not necessarily, because there is quite a number of examples that I would make, particularly mm-hmm. in the area of Echegui.
Mm.
For example, in the area of in Mayville, in you find a situation where there is running water and then everything, but people, they're just looking to, they want to be closer to the city, where people, they could walk to town. That's what brings them to those areas. And that the municipalities maybe have left them vacant because they've been classified as not so suitable for building houses. But people would move to those areas because they want to be closer to the city. So the result in some of these areas, the city has moved on to put pollution facilities, even electricity, because people, they would connect electricity illegally. But now when we find alternative places, we will find those places are not so close to town. Maybe we have to drive about 20 kilometers, and then they don't want to go there because one would say, but I work in town, how do you expect me to drive or to take a taxi for 20 kilometers to come to work? Because that would mean that I'll have to have extra money for transport. So you have to deal with those areas. And also, obviously, you cannot have a situation where everyone lives around the town because there's limited space. The only space that is available now is a bit far from town. But now people that's what brings people to those areas, that I'd rather live in the shack here, but I walk to work, I walk to town.
Well,
so it's a long process that requires an extensive engagement and education to help.
Well, I mean, apart from the fact that you now have to, you're at a point where you are trying to educate people about space, perhaps government also needs to consider what needs to happen in the way in which the city is now going to have to accommodate the influx of people coming to the city for jobs. And obviously, cities have this kind of pressure around the world. So it's one of those, unfortunately, one of the things that you'd have to deal with.
Yeah, no, definitely. So, but I think one of the things that we have encouraged as KZN and COCTA to the municipalities to ensure that we enforce the bylaws.
Yes.
Because once you decide to do that, we are not saying that we are not sensitive to what our people want, but in whatever we do, we must ensure their safety is guaranteed. It's not right to let people move in a place where you could see their life is at high risk of being flooded. So we continue in this engagement, even those that have been affected in the past, like the one that were affected in 2022.
Yes.
The city has procured the land. But the land is also obviously not in the same place where their houses were washed away, because those areas have been classified as not good for human inhabitation. So they have to, they have to find a new place where they will build these houses for these people. Farms have been procured. Now they will start to building houses for those people. Some houses are already underway, but not in areas where the actual houses were washed away, because those areas were not good in the first place for people to live there. So these are some of the things that we are looking into. But for this incident that we experienced yesterday, it's a totally different case because that was hit by a tornado.
Yes. And how many families, do we have a sense of how many families were affected by the tornado?
Yeah, well, there's quite a number of tornado, over 50 families that were affected, because we have quite a number of people that are homeless.
Mm.
Some sorted to sort shelter to their neighbors, but we have like three sets of the mass care centers that we have already opened in the area of Tongat where people are being housed. What we are looking for is to make use of maybe vouchers to assist those that can rebuild their houses and so that they can return to their homes, because living in a school or community hall obviously is only for temporal use. We cannot keep people for long there, like for a week or so, just for a few days while we are doing care up, so we can assist those that may not be able to assist them to put the roof back. Some have to start from scratch because the devastation is so severe.
Well, when you say vouchers, does it mean that you've actually organized yourselves with business to try and get material and so on? What kind of vouchers are you speaking about here?
Well, at this stage, there is no decision that has been taken. But in the past, what we have used is that the Department of Human Settlement maybe will make use of the voucher. The voucher will actually allows you to go to the hardware.
Yes.
And you get that material. Maybe it's a tile or it's a plan, whatever material that you may use to rebuild your house, so that you can move with speed. Because you know, when these disasters hit, no one has money like planned for such time. So that's where government needs to intervene and assist people.
Has the weather service told you if you're expecting adverse weather going forward? The warning that we had received was that it's going to be quite, uncertain until Saturday. I don't know whether there's an update on that on your side.
Well, the warning that we had was up until yesterday midnight. And as of date, earlier today it was cleared up, so that's why we managed to visit a number of places. Tomorrow we are also continuing in the northern part of the province because the devastation was quite severe also in those areas. So ensure that the provision of the humanitarian aid and also profile all the people. We are also working together with other departments. There are both their schools, their clinics, their homes that have been affected as well. Yes. ESCOM has already communicated that they're aware of the electricity infrastructure and they've been damaged and they're attending to it.
And let's talk a little bit about schools, because that for me is quite urgent. For those areas where schools have been affected, what's your plan going forward? I know that you've got a plan for households, but where are you planning for children to go and attend school?
Yeah, because we have dealt with a similar situation in the past. So what normally happens in these cases is the Department of Education will make use of the mobile classroom to avail them, depending on the number of schools that are affected in the school. Then they will bring those mobile classroom while the school is being fixed. So that's to ensure that the teaching and learning continues despite these disasters.
I know that KZN has been speaking to the Minister of Finance, has been speaking to other senior national government officials to try and get some aid. How far are you? Is this going to be declared a disaster anytime soon so that you can get funds funneled into your department as well as in other departments in KZN?
Yeah, well, maybe I must firstly clarify also that it is not ours to clarify. It's only the national national corporate that is in that position. But we have also received funding for the previous disasters. For example, the Minister of Culture, Tim Ngadime, was in the province last month, where he firstly announced the 232 million that was shared among 10 municipalities that were affected by the flood last year. This money was the municipal infrastructure grant funding. It was strictly, it will be used over a period of 12 months to repair infrastructure such as roads, bridges. It's mostly roads and bridges and the waterworks treatment center that were affected by the flood. But the minister also came back for another profile of the disaster that hit in the province in the early in January. So where he also presented the 88 million that would be shared among six municipalities, that including Etiwin. You remember just before the school reopened, there were floods that hit in Etiwin.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
That money has been received. The contractors are on the ground to fix infrastructure that was affected during those periods. Once we've concluded this report, the officials and the leadership will also intervene. I think the National Department has already made contact in terms of looking at the extent of the damages, and there will be intervention that will do in ensuring that we move up with speed in repairing that infrastructure that has been damaged.
In the immediate term, I know that a lot of organizations were very keen to assist. Gift of the Givers were saying that they're also out there very keen to work alongside yourselves. Are you receiving any adequate help? What other help would you like to receive?
Yeah, well, we are very we appreciate the assistance that we've been receiving, particularly from our social partners that include the Gift of the Givers, the South African Red Cross, the Allen Dud Foundation, the IPSS Medical Rescue. We met with them this morning as we speak. They are also set up a kitchen in the area. They are also providing meals, hot meals. We really appreciate that effort. And then we are calling also other organizations. They are more than welcome to contact us or visit the communities that have been affected. We've seen quite a number of them throughout the day today, acquiring information to go to the area and assist, particularly in the area of Tongat. So any sort of assistance, whether it be clothes or food, non-perishable food, will be highly useful during this time, because some families, they've lost like everything, so they will appreciate anything that they may have received at this stage.
Really appreciate your time, Sponiso Mgati. He's a KZN COCTA spokesperson for the MEC. Really appreciate your time, and we'll obviously keep an eye on the story and make sure that we keep everybody updated up. Thank you very much, Mr. Mgati.
No, thank you. Thank you so much.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.